Hey, dear friends, it is now September the 14th. It's a, well, Tuesday night, 6 p.m. to 7. Shatter the Darkness live broadcast. This is Russ Dizdar. Welcome to everyone live listening right now all over the place. Hey, every once in a while, send us an email. Let us know where you're listening from. We're glad to be with you. It is definitely a privilege, and it is a providential, 1 hour supernatural engagement. We trust that God is engaging you. I know about three things for sure. God loves you. God knows all about you. And God, more than anyone else, wants you. That's the incredible thing in a world where, listen, there is so much throwing away of the of our, everything's just discarded in garbage and people and babies. Box babies in China, little kids here in the United States. So many of us have felt the power, the sting of rejection, abandonment, and this issue of being left behind. I want to engage you tonight that when you come to know God, there's an incredible scripture in the book of Hebrews where in the original Greek there's five negatives. It's simply when God says, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you. And that's the amazing, incredible, commitment of God. Now, I'm over 50 years old. I've been around half a century. I know what it is to have a mom and a dad and a family. I know what it is to be out in the world and be beat up by my decisions and be destroyed by my sin and be deceived by the dark side. But God did reach in. And there was a day when the Spirit of God, and I've told the story about a man showing up in an apartment. Here's where I was learning how to get in a particular position in my Golden Buddha meditation, trying to leave my body and or allow the entities, ascended masters, to come to talk to me. Now, in that context, I now know, after 35 years on the other side of the fence, north of hell, this is about God and heaven and truth and Christ and the experience. See, everybody's into experiences today. Everybody wants the experience, supernatural things. That's why I think sometimes ghost hunters and paranormal research groups, man, they go out all over the place to engage, to get, to literally get involved with what's going on in dark places and trying to tap into that supernatural side, that paranormal side. Now, the issue is this. Do we know what door we're knocking on? See, on the other side of the fence, there's this picture of the living Christ where he says, behold, I stand and knock. Knock. This is the idea, the picture that God is at your heart's door and God is knocking. So again, regardless of your background, for all of those that download later on tonight, later on during the week, all of you in dozens and dozens of countries and cities around the world, heavily, you've been prayed for today. Heavily, we've asked God to stretch out his hand, to save, to heal, to deliver, to open up hearts and minds, for God to knock on the door of your heart. It's about the Spirit of God's communication. And we're talking all of this week in this series that we're doing. Go to shatterthedarkness.net, shatterthedarkness.net. On the web, you'll see where it says live radio broadcast. Scrolling down a little bit, the title for the week, The Physics / Theology of God, the Holy Spirit. And I got a little note there. It says this, neglected at times, rejected, lied to and grieved, the Holy Spirit. In contrast to these last days of massive supernaturalism, the Holy Spirit's presence, power, and work, New Agers and psychics, remote viewers and shamans and 2012ers just don't know him. Yet as you read, he is at work and seeks you. Our God and great Holy Spirit, guide, teacher, witness, sanctifier, giver of comfort and power, and soon glorifier of all who have the gift of indestructible immortality. Either you have and know him, or you don't. And if you don't, what do you have? The infinite nature, the work of the Holy Spirit versus finite supernaturalism. Now, Monday night, we had just simply a welcome, an introduction to the uncreated, eternal, infinite God, the Holy Spirit. Now, tonight, 6 to 7, the Holy Spirit and the Savior of the world. This is about the physics, the works, the function of God, the Holy Spirit in conjunction with Christ, the Messiah. At 7 o'clock tonight, Survive to Thrive, when I'm the guest host, we're going to talk about the worldwide, omnipresent, omniscient, omnipotent presence of the Spirit of God. And He is the pursuer of every single human being, every single city, every single village, every single tribe, every single island, every single hut, every single apartment, right where you are, the global witness of the Spirit of God. Now, I'm doing all of this in contrast to last week when I dealt with Sylvia Brown, reading materials and literally reading her book. It just deeply, deeply burdened me, sickened me to see that someone that talks about love and unity wrote an entire book to blaspheme the real Christ, to literally just vehemently destroy and speak against believers in Christ, against the angels, the Word of God, every witness. And I noticed one big thing in the book that she wrote on Jesus Christ. See, Jesus has been written about more than any other person in all of history. Secondarily, Hitler has been written about. But in the writings of those who are looking at Christ, let me tell you two things about Sylvia Brown. In all of her writings, in all of that I've listened to on TV, on webcasts and things like that, and the materials that I've read, it's clear experientially she has never known the living Christ, does not know the living Christ, clearly does not know the work of the Spirit of God. There's not an iota of experiential testimony of her knowledge of God personally, of Christ personally. So the question is, even though she tries to paint this positive picture of a de-deified little psychic Jesus who wasn't conceived by the Holy Spirit, wasn't conceived by a Virgin Mary, didn't really go to the cross, he didn't die, he didn't rise from the dead, he didn't ascend to heaven. Now that's what Sylvia Brown says in her research, that is totally tempered by and guided by a spiritual entity named Francine. Francine has it out for Christ and seeks to lead and guide, as do all those finite spirit guides, anyone and everyone away from. Now, they will paint another picture of a Savior that is not a Savior, of a Savior that didn't really do anything, of a Savior that is nothing more than a projection of the hopes of psychics and New Agers and 2012ers. And it's really amazing because when you go to the Psalms and read how the believers talk to God and God speaks back, let me give you one, Psalm 34, the writer who's in relationship to God and knows the Spirit of God, knows the Lord, says, "I sought the Lord and He answered me and delivered me from all my fears." Now, that's an experiential thing. I know that experience. I've had 35 years of interaction, walking with. I mean, I do agree. I give it to Sylvia Brown in the sense she experientially knows her spirit guide, knows, well, she calls it Francine. It introduced itself as a female, Francine, as coming from God. But again, it demonstrates by her experience, her own writings, that it's not from God, that it's contrary to God, contrary to Christ. And fallen, finite spirit guides cannot and will not ever, ever acknowledge Christ as Lord, Savior, God, alive from the dead, won't acknowledge anything. So all they're going to do is paint a picture of, because I noticed in the book, she says this positive, our Lord Jesus, you know, our Lord and God. Now, she says it as something objective, out there, transcendent, not personal. And she talks about prayer, but there's no... Who does she pray to? To a finite, de-deified, non-dying, rising, ascending... Well, he'd be a non-savior then. I mean, how could he be the savior of the world if he didn't do the work of a savior? Folks, we are in the broadest... This is beyond the politics of Obama, Ahmadinejad, Castro. This is beyond the sleight of hand shadow government. This is beyond all of it. There's a spiritual battle. And I sit here tonight in speaking to you live and speaking to many of you later on, knowing the presence of God, the Holy Spirit, and His work. I know what it is to be convicted by the Holy Spirit prior to salvation. I know what it was to run from the Spirit of God, to run from the person that was filled with the Spirit of God that talked to me. I know what it is to run from Him and think that once I got away from Him, I would get away from that sense of conviction, summoning of the Spirit of God. I knew one thing. The guy that was filled with the Spirit of God, I knew one thing standing there high from marijuana, drinking, partying, and engaged in occult practices. I knew that he had something that was more powerful than anything I've ever experienced. Clean, bright, true, and this is where the love was coming down. Even though I ran because of the darkness within me and on me, when I left my apartment, went home, it was there the Spirit of God engaged me for hours. I am going to tell you that I know this because of being in the ministry all these years, that many of you that have listened, many of you that have downloaded, over the last 2 years that we've been out here, have written me. The Spirit of God has troubled you. The Spirit of God has convicted you. Some of you have given your hearts to Jesus Christ, Savior and Lord, and now you've experienced the incredible, absolute incredible miracle of salvation. He is the Spirit of God. He is the Holy Spirit. He is the Eternal Spirit. He is the Spirit of Christ. As all of Scripture gives this systematic, massive unveiling of God the Holy Spirit. Yesterday we mentioned the beginning, Genesis chapter 1 verse 2, Ruach, Spirit, the Spirit of God moved in power on all of the created material that has been laid out. He was involved in the functional shaping and the sequential shaping of the created order by Bara, special act of God. Obviously involved, when God says God created, that's where the function of the Spirit of God is involved. That's true about recreation. In other words, regeneration, rebirth, being born of the Spirit, coming back to God, there is also the work of the Spirit of God. And it's kind of exciting because as I sit here between 6 and 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, I know that there are thousands of listeners all over. I have no idea, you know, all the level and where and everywhere, but I do know one thing. The Spirit of God does know. And I know that there's times in the midst of what I'm saying, I will feel the Spirit of God lead directly into things that I did not plan or plot in the context of this hour and add to this hour because of what needs to be said and because of whom is listening. And that can include somebody 10 days from now downloading in Moscow or in Berlin or in Paris or London or in Manila, Pretoria. It doesn't make any difference. We're talking not about a finite temporal spirit guide like Sylvia Brown has. We're not talking about the entity that guided Helena Blavatsky to write The Secret Doctrine. She would spend 10 hours a day where an entity would guide and direct and lead her to write this massive volumes of what is called The Secret Doctrine. And the same is true about Alice Bailey that wrote 21 or more volumes. It is said that the spirit guide or the spirit entity so fused with her or overshadowed her that one couldn't tell the difference. She knew. Helena Blavatsky knew. Sylvia Brown knows, they all confess the experience of a entity guiding them, directing them, leading them, giving them content, giving them interaction. They know what it is to experience that entity's voice. I've dealt with individuals that had spirit guides come to the office and they wanted to deal with what's going on. And as we applied and spoke in the name of Jesus Christ, commanding by that authority of Christ, since it's infinitely superior, that they had to not only be exposed for what they really were, but then they were kicked out. Now, this is a tremendous exchange. You know, living in this world is hard enough, and being dead to God because of sin and Satan's rights, and then opening your life to spirits and spirit guides and experiencing supernatural, you know, synchronicity, presence, leading, and so forth. Even non-human enhancements, abilities. Oh, abilities to do what? To heal, to do all kinds of stuff. And the truth is, my friends, in what's coming to the world in the next number of years, the counterfeit, demonstrative, supernatural signs and wonders is going to be off the charts. Unlike anything the world has ever seen, that's what's coming. And if you think that mass numbers of individuals are deceived today, look what's going to happen as another blanket of darkness and another blanket of darkness and another blanket and another blanket and another blanket. Those of you in the left-hand path that have gone in that incremental step-by-step approach, blanket by blanket by blanket by blanket. But you know what? It doesn't matter how many blankets of spirit guides, spirit entities, abilities, functions, and friends that they bring in with them. Let me tell you one thing I know for sure. I don't care if you're the deepest, darkest Satanist, if you're a psychic, or even a remote viewer. Let me tell you this. The energies, the powers, the entities, the ones that you're dealing with, they will never, ever, ever reveal the ultimate truth of what they are, what their agenda is, who they've brought in function over, what their ultimate, you know, purpose is in using your life. And God, why give your life to a finite, fallen entity and find out after 60, 70 years that you have literally embraced a horrific, lying, masquerading as an angel of light, masquerading as a spirit guide, masquerading as a translucent spirit, masquerading as an angel of God, when all the time they have led you further from the shores of the love and the power and the experience of God and led you deeper and deeper into the murky waters of deception. And since you're listening right now, by God's providence, you're not dead and it's not over. Today is the day that God has made, and it's a moment of grace. Do you hear the Spirit of God? Isn't it amazing that Helena Blavatsky, Sylvia Brown, Alice Bailey, you know, I can go to people like Courtney Brown, the professor, the remote viewer that is, you know, Cosmic Voyage, all the books he's written, all the experiences, his claim of remote viewing out of his body, aliens, an alien Jesus in a little box of a room somewhere, all these stories that he talks about. And I can listen, you know, so many others, including those who've written, the lady that wrote The Psychologist, A Course in Miracles, all guided by entities. It's all real. It's just as lethal as hell itself. Many of you listen to me, you write to me, you got family members, you got others that have been engaged, that hear voices in their head, that have something on them, that are seeking abilities. There are some that the entities will fill your life with pride. They will fill your life with pride and gather people around you, and you'll have partial ability to give little bits and pieces of insight, prediction. And some of it, And because some of it will be right on, and most of it won't, but some of it will be, that's why it's supernatural. It's a non-human enhancement, and they who give you this ability can make you feel really, important, puffed up. Will you stop for a minute? Will you turn around? Will you demand of your spirit guide, your spirit entity, your whatever it is in and on you, demand to tell, have it tell the truth. Demand it to tell who Jesus Christ is. Get straight with it. See what happens. You're listening here on September the 14th. Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net on the web. This is our live broadcast Monday through Friday, 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And we're in the series dealing with God, well, the theology of, the physics of, the function of God the Holy Spirit. Either you know him or you don't. You know his, experientially, and that's how you really know if somebody's a real believer in Christ. You could have a lot of Christian religion where they lay claim to God. You could have a lot of this among Catholics. A lot of, mysticism and syncretism and yet because the name of Jesus and Mary and some issues of the Bible are out there, the question is, ultimately, do you experientially know God? Or is it just dry religion and nothing on the inside? And that makes you vulnerable to the onslaught of the largest supernatural, plotted, planned activity that's going on right now and has been going on for about 50 years. We are at it's like the waters have risen to the very edge. They're spilling over. It's bulging at the seams. And what is to come is unprecedented. Who tells us that? How do we know that? How can we say that with confidence? Here again, God, the Holy Spirit, deity, personhood, omniscience, omnipresence, omnipotence. It's not as though God, the Holy Spirit, looked out into the future, somehow looking into the future and beginning to say what's going to happen. The Spirit of God does not have to look into the future. He is beyond the future. The Spirit of God, being infinite, is beyond time, past, present, or future. He's outside, yet operates within. And it is the Spirit of God that has, in the Old Testament, given hundreds of prophecies pointing to what's going to occur. Now, things like the fall of Babylon, the rise of the Mede-Persians, the fall of the Medo-Persians, the rise of the Greeks and Alexander, and division of his kingdom into four, and then the rise of Rome. And it can spell all of that out. So many of these absolute, definitive, detailed, Holy Spirit-given prophecies have been fulfilled. Now, there's about 300 in the Old Testament. Again, guiding by the Spirit of God, different prophets, different seers, they didn't know each other. Did Moses know Isaiah? No. Did he know Ezekiel? No. They're decades apart. The factors are this. This is very important. Out of the 40 writers used knowingly by God the Holy Spirit, just like, Sylvia Brown knowingly confesses, gives examples of, tells her experience of being of the spirit guide named Francine. And she utterly trusts the spirit guide Francine. That's her downfall. You'll notice again, if you ever read her book on the mystical Christ, it is very, very clear that she is absent 100% of the Spirit of God and any experience. You can't have both at the same time. You cannot be guided by both. This is why the evidence is this. When it's God the Holy Spirit operative and giving predictive future, prophecy that it has been always for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years, absolutely fulfilled, detailed in all of its details. There's no missing. And again, it's not because the Spirit of God's looking to the future. He's on the other side of the future. God is on the other side of the future. This is where we who are finite, we live in sequential time, can't understand. And so we look at things. We want to know the future. We want to know some things. I've got a book we're writing right now that's talking, you know what the title of the book is? Seeing into the Future. It's a simple little book, probably about 180 pages. It's going to come out at the end of the month. Might have it for the conference October 1st and 2nd. Can't promise, but because I don't know. I don't know all the details like before, the interruptions, everything else. You know what God knows? He knows all the interruptions, all the contingencies, all the things that could happen, would happen, should have happened, might have happened. All of that. He knows exactly. Actuality. Now, this is in relation to Christ tonight, and we're going to see the function, the physics, the theology of the Spirit of God in relation to the most incredible individual that has ever been written about by many others, the most written about person in all of human history, Jesus Christ, let alone the fact that there are clearly four Gospels that contain the greatest archaeological, historical, and manuscript evidence than any ancient piece of manuscript in comparison. Besides all of the functional things, God the Holy Spirit is all over it from beginning to end and even now. You know what I did today? In taking a break, because it's such an incredible, beautiful day, in my studies, I went outside, away from the house, taking my Bible, the notes, and everything that we're doing here now, and going into it, praying, and talking to the Lord, looking for the Spirit of God to guide and lead. The same one who revealed to me 35 years ago through a man, Christ, and his love for me. The same one that came into my life the moment I called upon Jesus for him to come in. Now, the same one who's operative in this explicit, detailed moment. There's nothing that he doesn't know in totality. He knows infinitely. You know when the Bible says about not worrying about tomorrow, you know, things like that, that God knows when even a sparrow falls to the ground, that he knows the numbers of hairs on your head? It's simply the revelation of the attribute of God's infinite, immeasurable. You can't measure this. You cannot measure this. You're finite. CERN cannot measure this. It is a multi-billion dollar finite machine. It can't measure the universe, let alone God. And God is infinitely beyond the size of the universe. Does he know every star, every constellation, every galaxy, every planet, every sun, every black hole? Does he know what dark matter is? God probably has a lot of different names for what a lot of physicists, scientists, astrophysicists, and so forth are scratching at. God knows the names. And to be in relationship with the infinite, when I say omniscient, you know what that means? Everything. God knows more about your life. Listen, how many times have you sat back and wondered who you really are? You ever get confused? You ever get confused and fall into doubt? Can I tell you something? God never gets confused. You and I, we learn. God doesn't learn. He doesn't need to learn. There's no such thing as process theology when it comes to God. God's not evolving like New Agers try to say. That's the spirit, that Luciferian doctrine of the evolution of spirituality. Their constant goal to reach deity, but have never arrived. Because the finite, no matter how big or strong, cannot evolve and make itself infinite. We've already lost that battle. We're finite. We're limited. And I'm okay with that. Because I'm okay with God. And because of Christ and the blood of Christ, this ugly old sinner here that you're listening to was forgiven and was washed and made right with God. Can I tell you something today? And let me mention just quickly here, since we're halfway through tonight, just the conference coming up October 1st and 2nd. And again, go to shatterthedarkness.net. You're going to find hundreds of MP3s to download. The new series, Becoming Powerful in Prayer, will continue. The series, Dark Rituals, Dark Powers. The book, The Black Awakening, is there. You can find out all about it. There's introductory MP3s. All kinds of things from last week. There's the connection of how to get to the Truther Girls. We were interviewed yesterday out of they're out of Canada. The Intel Hub last week also with Shepherd and many others. But you'll just see many, many things there to take a look at, and it'll give you some of the updates. And it's a busy site, so take your time and head on through it. And we got some good announcements. We're going to bring you brand new announcements tomorrow, Wednesday night. In the 6 to 7 o'clock hour, it's going to be about after this hour, Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays, we're going to move the Ragged Edge show to where if you want to come in after the 6 to 7, it'll be 7 to 8, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. The Ragged Edge show that includes chat room, live interaction, and so forth. We'll be doing like a follow-up, and we'll have a theology night. And so you'll hear about that coming up, and I'll tell you more about that tomorrow. What we want to engage tonight is, well, and again, I was looking at this this article. Again, someone from Texas and a friend out west, Tim, sent this article, and it's from World Net Daily. It's called U.S. Soldiers to be Subject to Mind Control. Now, a lot of us have heard about mind control and all those kind of things. Here's the issue. When I got to the part, I mean, listen, when you look at what it says about the usual funding grant from DARPA, about human sensation, perception, emotion, and behaviors regulated by brain activity. And so they're looking about how they can use these transcranial pulse ultrasound with these helmets and a connection, a wireless connection to computers, how to really stimulate the brain. And it involves the constant concept of not only voice-to-skull, but can they influence the brain in an involuntary way? See, I experience, if you're a believer, I experience the comfort of the Holy Spirit. I literally within me experience the joy that comes emanating from the presence of the Spirit of Christ. The peace, this sense of power. Ultimately, the love. It is an experiential thing in my life. Emotionally, I experience this. I hear the Spirit of God speak and lead and guide. I know what it is to be convicted, convinced, led, taught. The Holy Spirit bringing me out. There'll be times when I'm praying. And I'll just simply say, Lord, is there a verse? And the Holy Spirit who knows, listen, now get this. It could be 35 years I've studied, the Word of God in over 20 translations, trying to master the original Greek vocabulary of the New Testament. And it's an ongoing thing. And the simplicity was sitting outside today, opening my Bible, John's Gospel, chapter 12, 13, and being blown away by the living voice of God communicating through the Grapha, the writings. They're alive. What can I say? They're alive with the active, inseparable, immediate voice and presence of God. It's not just power, but God's power. And let me say what's in the word. Not just power, but presence. Literally, it's the only book whose author is in and on and comes through every single verse. So there's times in my prayer I'll just say, Lord, is there a verse that you need to speak to me about? And all of a sudden, again, not me trying to think it up, not me trying to work it up, just listen. If you're a believer, listen now. Just listen. get that familiar sense of the Holy Spirit bringing, all of a sudden, boom, a verse comes up. And it's like, wow, it blows me away. It is interactive, living, personal fellowship with God. And I'm sorry to say, Sylvia Brown has none of this, because she has embraced the other side. Helena Blavatsky and Alice Bailey and the psychologist who authored The Course in Miracles, or I can go to Courtney Brown or others. And I say this as a human being to show the contrast, to show that there's deceptive, deceitful teaching, to show that the Spirit of God warned 2,000 years ago, Timothy 4:1, that in the end of days, these spirit guides would come with their energy and ability and power to open up people who did not have the Spirit of God and to begin to guide them in a masquerade. And the Spirit of God warned that these entities then would work through them and bring out other alternative writings that would be contrary to God, to the truth, to Christ. It would be counterfeit. And so I'm going to say again, by the supernatural providence of God, you're either on one side of the fence or the other. You either experientially know the presence, power of God, the Holy Spirit in Christ. You know the voice of the Lord. You know what Jesus said, John's Gospel, chapter 10? My sheep, the ones that know me, they know my voice. They'll not listen to another. See, I know the voice of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ in me. I've been involved in hundreds of exorcism deliverance encounters. I've watched as entities were speaking to and trying to lead people to run, to say different things. I've watched as these entities claimed to be a translucent spirit, an angel, a spirit guide, one that said, I am Jesus, you know. One that was supposed to be an animal spirit guide. And in every single case, there was zero experience of God the Holy Spirit in comparison. These individuals had an experience that flowed from that other side of the fence. And that's the amazing thing with occultists, psychics like Sylvia Brown. I'm simply saying, as a human being, please understand my approach. Convicted, guided, and compelled by the Spirit of God, especially in these days, I know what my calling deals with. The exposure of the dark side with the goal of keeping people from it, pulling people out of it, and bringing them to the living Christ, the living God, the power of the Spirit of the Lord. That includes you soldiers. That includes you reconnaissance agents that are listening in. That includes, you know, whether it's Russian Psy Warriors or American remote viewers. I'm a human being compelled by the love of God to say and to scream. Yeah, I'm a screamer. To scream and say, get out. Get out of the counterfeit. And you will have to give it up. And I want you to know that there are those who have counterfeit spiritual presence that has given them abilities, that has made a name for them. And either you will stay convinced by the activity of those entities and embrace it. But there will be a day when the veil is pulled back. What they were doing, will be revealed. In the end, they will always lead you, in every case, whether it's remote viewer, psychic, occult writer, Masonic writer like Albert Pike, it doesn't make any difference. They will guide you in a world of all kinds of information and knowledge and data and so forth that includes a deep, constant blanketing, deeper blanketing to move you from and never let you see the living Christ. Now I want to give you some things tonight. Listen, especially if you're a seeker, if you're an honest searcher, here's what you got to grapple with. God the Holy Spirit. Why don't any of these individuals... See, when the Spirit of God led Moses, when the Spirit of God led Isaiah, when the Spirit of God led David in the Psalms, when the Spirit of God... I mean, you could read about it in the book of Acts. 1,000 years later, when the Spirit of God is guiding Luke, the writer, the historian, writing the book of Acts, and the quotation, you know how they quote David? That he spoke by the mouth of the Holy Spirit. I mean, the Holy Spirit spoke through his mouth and wrote down. And so when they're quoting out of the Psalms, they're literally saying, we are quoting what the Holy Spirit, out of his mouth per se, spoke, what he has given, and these are the words and the language of the Spirit of God. Now, the writers understood that. And anybody that has the Spirit of God in them recognizes the Spirit of God in others. Clearly, you recognize it in the Word of God. Now, the sad issue of this development with the goal, ultimately, Armageddon super soldiers, it's all going to lead that direction. So if you're a weapons specialist, well, just simply, you know, you could take it as the ramblings of some screamer you don't know. But let me tell you this. I'm telling you what the Spirit of God has laid out, that there is an ultimate goal of Armageddon super soldier, super military, that involves technologies that have been developed because of some kind of voice-to-skull, voice of some entity, presence, influence, energy into the minds and hearts, even of scientists, weapons development specialists. I'm going to tell you right now, whether you believe it or not, all over DARPA, all over the place, there is a menacing dark presence looking for the opportunity to develop what it sees it needs for the last day of fallen human history on the field that so many have heard about called Armageddon. Everything will drive that way. Globalism is only a platform for Armageddon. Write it down. Don't you forget this. If you're a student of prophecy, if you're looking about the conspiracies, if you're a web bot expert, let me tell you something. Globalism, as menacing and deceiving and as bad as it will become, globalism, from the dark side standpoint, is nothing more than the platform to stand on. It is a platform for Armageddon. Globalism is not the ultimate goal. Armageddon is. Well, in all of that, that also involves prophecy. In the Old Testament, 1,000 years prior to the coming of Christ, Psalm 16 deals with how the Savior, the Messiah, the Holy One, his body would not see decay. It's a reference to the resurrection. In Isaiah, 700 years prior to Christ, before he ever came, the virgin will be a child. What's his name? Emmanuel, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. All the titles related to Christ when he came. Isaiah 53, suffering servant, going to the cross, shedding his blood, taking our place, a substitute. You can take a look at 300. I mean, there's prophecies about Judas. There's prophecies about the exact thing that he will do to step over the edge to betray Christ, 30 pieces of silver. There are prophecies about the conception of Christ, birth of Christ, life of Christ, the clothing of the sovereign Spirit of God upon Christ, the cross of Christ, his death, resurrection, ascension, and glorification back to where he came. As a matter of fact, Isaiah, if you go back to Isaiah chapter 6, when Isaiah cries out, I saw, you know what he saw? He says, he sees Yahweh Adonai. Holy, holy, holy is Yahweh Adonai. Now, in John's Gospel, chapter 13, you're going to find out the Spirit of God leading the writer says that Isaiah, quoting a piece out of that same chapter, Isaiah saw Jesus. You've got to understand, Isaiah knew who he saw, the pre-incarnate Christ. Now stop for a second. Mark down 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 10 and 11. When it gives reference to the prophets of old, including Daniel, who would then study the prophetic writings of the Old Testament, they were looking for the timing of the coming of Messiah. They were guided. They had a spirit guide. If you look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 10 and 11, you're going to find out the spirit guide was the Spirit of Christ. 1,000 years in advance, or 700 years in advance, the Spirit of Christ. Did you know that? When John the Baptist is conceived, there's, by the Holy Spirit, a prophetic song given by Elizabeth. By Mary, when she's with the child Christ inside of her, conceived by the Holy Spirit, she, by the Holy Spirit, gives a prophetic song by the Holy Spirit. There's prophetess and prophet, angel and shepherd, all of this around, and all of Scripture points to the same thing. The absolute unity of Scripture, angels, prophetess, prophet, prophetic revelation, prophetic vision, prophetic song, all unveils in this massive way the arrival of the infinite God in human flesh, Jesu Christu, Jesus Christ. In Luke's gospel, it's very clear the angel himself knew that the cause of the conception in the Virgin Mary would be by the Holy Spirit. You see, Sylvia Brown knows that she has a spirit guide that it guides her, and she knows what it does. The same is true of Alice Bailey, Helena, and all these other writers. Even modern writers like Gateway to the Gods, Craig Hines. They know that they have real guidance. It's real supernatural guidance. And it is kind of remarkable, but it's from the wrong side of the fence. That's the problem. And one of the evidences, again, they're never going to agree with what God the Holy Spirit has said. They're never going to agree with what the Holy Spirit said in and through Moses, in and through Isaiah, in and through Amos, in and through Daniel, in and through David, in and through Jeremiah or Ezekiel or Habakkuk or Joel. Hundreds of years before Pentecost, there was a prophecy that the Spirit of God would be poured out on those who believe in the living Christ. 700 years before Christ came, there's a prophecy how the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord would come upon Jesus in a public demonstration to give witness of him to the rest of the world. When John the Baptist, a Spirit-filled man, he just saw Jesus. The Spirit-filled prophet, John, just simply saw Jesus approaching. And by the Spirit of God, he screams out the truth. Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. I've experienced that. The living Christ, Savior, has taken away the totality of my sin. It's off me. It's gone. You're listening right now. If your sin is on you, how do you get it out? How do you get it off? What do? Try to do good deeds to overcome the bad? You try to outweigh them? Is it all by your own works? You ever get tired? Is it some other way? Is it denial? Is it alcohol? Is it depression? Is it psychiatric drugs? What will wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Have you heard it? Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. Nothing but the blood of a Savior of God on the cross. And the Holy Spirit says, this is him. And the Holy Spirit testifies through all these other agencies, the Scripture, the prophets, the prophetesses. Angels of God would say it and sing it. past believers before the arrival of God in human flesh, and those after the death, resurrection, ascension, would all have the same experience. They would come, they would know experientially God. This is the Savior of the world. The Spirit of God causes in His... Listen, this is the physics of the Spirit of God. This is the function. In the conception, this is a genetic thing. This is a DNA thing. The incarnation is fully God Almighty and fully mankind. There's a reason. There's a representation on God's side and on the totality of humanity. You see, the spirit guides will never tell you this incredible revelation that Jesus Christ is the last Adam, the last sinless representation. That's why he's called the Son of Man. Or in the book of Timothy chapter 2, the man Christ Jesus. So looking at all of Scripture, he is God, God in human flesh, Son of God, Son of Man, the man Christ Jesus. The conception. Oh, it's genetic. It's DNA. It's the very core of nature. The moment of conception caused, and by the way, for you and I as moms and dads, humans, humanly speaking, I've got a daughter. At the moment of conception, what I contributed, what my wife contributed, the moment, and it again, it's in the twinkling of an eye. It's in a burst. If you've ever gotten to see kind of a scientific reenactment of conception, it's an incredible spiritual explosion at that very moment. The human spirit is generated, is created. It's created right then and there. Now, when it comes to the Spirit of God and female human egg, in the conception, it's not man with woman. It's God with human egg. And you have God now in the womb. And you have at the birth, while the Spirit of God guides the shepherds to sing and give prophetic song, and the angels are singing, and you know, the shepherds are crying out and hearing it and telling everybody, and Mary is singing, and Elizabeth is singing, and the Spirit of God is moving on Simon. You see, the Spirit of God guided Simon, told him ahead of time he's not going to die until he sees the Messiah. As a matter of fact, as he was a righteous man, yielded to the Spirit of God, and he knew experientially the Spirit of God, he was guided by the Spirit of God. Read this in Luke. He was guided by the Spirit of God to go out, and all of a sudden he sees the Christ child. He sees Jesus as a baby in the arms of his mother. And the Holy Spirit, immediately, nobody has to tell him, he recognizes this is Yahweh Adonai, this is Yesu Christu. Look what occurs. And watch the Holy Spirit prophesy through him in declaration, this is the Savior of the world. It is hundreds of Scripture. It is all of Scripture from all the generations, from three continents, three languages, all of it testifies. The Spirit of God in all of those who knew and walked with the Lord experientially knew. And this, my dear friends, is what no psychic, no remote viewer, no occult writer, no spirit-guided channeler could ever say, could ever speak, could ever witness to, because what's in them, what's on them, runs contrary. I pray you listen to the Spirit of God. I pray you hear the brilliance, the beauty of the summons, the conception, the birth announcement, the nature. Look when John sees Jesus and cries out, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." John the Baptist, filled with the Spirit from his mother's womb. It says he saw the Holy Spirit descend on him like a dove. John saw the Holy Spirit. Christ, the Savior, unleashes miracle. Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, shows it all. The unleashing of the good news that God has come for all. God will summon all. God is calling all. God wants you to come. Whosoever believes on the name and the person of the living Christ and receives him into their life will receive the living Christ, the power of the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit of God involved in creation, Genesis 1-2. The same Spirit of God operative on the prophets, the psalm writers. The same Spirit of God Mary was told about that would cause the conception. It is the Spirit of God's physics, function, work on the cross when Jesus was dying. In fulfillment of prophecy. In fulfillment of what Jesus said he knew was going to happen. In this death of the sinless Savior, prophesied 1,000 years in advance, told about prior, Jesus' own words, Romans chapter 1, the Spirit of God effects the cause of the resurrection of the dead Savior back to life. In a resurrected body, Jesus is seen by hundreds and hundreds. And for 40 days, he's teaching and sharing until the ascension, Acts chapter 1. The cause of the ascension, the Spirit of God. The cause of glorification, back to what he was and will always be, God our Savior, the Holy Spirit. You can read this, dear believer in Christ, Ephesians chapters 1 and 2. It will make reference to how you now have the Spirit of God inside of you, the very same Holy Spirit that exerted power at the resurrection of Christ. He who raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. This is why his presence in you is called the incomparably great power for us who believe. Check it out, Ephesians chapters 1 and 2. Every believer should know, greater is he who is in you. My dear friends, we're coming to the very end of the hour here. We've got about 2 minutes left, and I just simply have so much more to say. Shadow of the Darkness Live. This is Russ Dizdar, shadowthedarkness.net. Remember us in prayer, my friends, and please remember us in support. Take a look at the website. Good night.